We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama! What a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into episode 2 of Feature. Did you know, Jessica Cootie, that last week was the biggest week for downloads in the history of the Sooner Sports Podcast?
Hey, let's go.
Let's keep it rolling. Last week, we focused on Rodney Anderson. If you missed any of it, it's available in our archives right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And for those that didn't catch our first episode, again, Featured is kind of our way of taking, can I say hours worth of interviews and footage? Well, not necessarily.
Sometimes.
Hours worth of interviews that, unfortunately, Jess is given 5 minutes for her TV feature.
Yeah.
And so we thought, and we've talked about this for years, let's do a podcast with it. And I think we sprinkled a couple of them in last year. But we're going all in here in 2018 and into 2019. And
this week's interviews were about 50 minutes that I had to get down to.
Well, you talked to Benny Wiley,
yes,
who might be the best talker on the staff.
And he doesn't even like to do it.
Are you serious?
He likes to talk about his guys, but He was telling me how he prefers to stay out of the spotlight.
Really?
But the way you get him to talk is if you're asking him about players specifically.
Okay, lesson learned there, because I haven't had a chance to interview him yet. And then number two,
great.
He might not like it. He's going to be forced into the spotlight. But our focus this week is on Marquise Brown. And Jess, I'd like to kick every single one of these episodes off with kind of the same question. What drew you to want to tell Marquise Brown's story? What was it that attracted you to his story?
Well, I think the biggest thing going into it was that, I mean, I think a lot of people kind of heard about his story, his journey here last season. But, you know, going into last year, there were a lot of stars on this team, right? In Baker Mayfield, you know, Mark Andrews, Stephen Parker, Oboe. But like this year going into it, it seemed like every person that you ask at Meet the Sooners Day, wherever it may be, who's your favorite player? Hollywood, right?
The grill.
So I kind of wanted to just, you know, give fans an opportunity to get to know him a little bit more. But then also going into it, expected to have a huge year, right? And going into the season, he's projected as one of the top wide receivers in the country.
Yep.
He's had a big offseason, which we're going to talk about later. So I think that was kind of one of the big things, is kind of wanting to get to him early because of the work he's done in the offseason.
I like that idea. Let's get to him early, because there's a really good chance he is going to be in high demand as time rolls on. All right, so if you haven't caught the feature yet, we try to time this a couple of hours after the feature drops. So Soonersports.tv is where you can check it out, and it's right there on the front page. So let's get into it. Who all did you talk to? You talked Benny Wiley, obviously, you mentioned that, but who else outside of Marquise Brown did you get a chance to chat with?
Yeah, when you talk to Marquise Brown about kind of where he's at right now, he gives a lot of credit to Benny Wiley. So Benny was one that was very crucial for me to include. Also wanted to get Coach Simmons, Dennis Simmons, because that's his position coach. He recruited him. He knows a lot about his story. So thought it was kind of vital for them to help tell his story. And, you know, I think for me, when I get into futures and whether no matter the sport, I always think it's interesting. How did you get into the sport? You know, and it's always different for every person. So that's kind of, you know, my way to break the ice a little bit when you start it. But it's also, you never know, like, kind of what story you might get out of that. And so for Marquise, how did you get into football? And he got a Halloween costume of the Miami Dolphins when he was 4 years old, and he wore it like every day.
Wow.
And then finally he, you know, when he was old enough to go out for football, he did, and he never looked back.
You said a Dolphins jersey. What I'm trying to think of is from his age. It couldn't be Mark Clayton or like Mark Duper, any of the great receivers they had, because he's too young probably for them. It's just a Dolphins jersey, right?
Yeah. I mean, he just, you know, got into it that way. And then once he started playing, you know, loved it. And he was a running back at first because, I mean, like we'll talk about, he's always been the fastest kid on the team. But then as kids kind of started to grow, you know, he's always been the fastest. He's always been one of the smallest. So they moved him to wide receiver, and you know, he was really good, and he was on played on a really good prep team, and you know, had some success, but his grades kind of prevented him from getting recruited. He didn't meet NCAA clearinghouse, and you know, I actually had to miss an entire season of football because of grades, and it was kind of a wake-up call for him. You know, he knew that from then on out he was gonna have to take care of business, but unfortunately it was kind of too late, and so he missed out on the recruiting trail getting out of high school. He had some looks, some people had offered him to walk on, but for him, you know, he felt like, all right, I'm gonna go the JUCO route and see how that goes.
I didn't really have nobody to like walk me through like the NCAA clearinghouse and all that. So once, you know, I found out about all that, and I took my ACT so late that, you know, any school that was like recruiting me, it was like too late to go. So they offer, you know, to walk on, but I decided to go junior college, and it paid off.
His junior college coach actually reached out to us through text and was like, hey, I got a kid that's special. You might need to come out and check him out. So Drew and I pulled up the video, and it was very evident that he was fast. So then, you know, I replied back to the coach, and you know, communication started. And then just started talking to Marquise. As you well know, he's kind of a soft-spoken, quiet guy, so it was like pulling teeth to get things out of him to talk to him. But, you know, once I went out there and got a chance to see him and watch him practice, I mean, our relationship just kind of grew from there.
So he didn't really get the opportunity to get recruited out of high school, but it's almost as if after he wowed in JUCO, he got that opportunity to get recruited, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you hear a lot of time coaches talk about, you know, when you can run as fast as he does, you're going to get looks, and he did. He had, you know, a big year in junior college and had some offers from some big-time programs. One of the guys that he kind of grew up watching was Tavon Austin. West Virginia came calling, and that was, you know, one of the schools on his list, but he talks about how he came here and fell in love and immediately knew that this was the place he wanted to be. He had heard about Oklahoma growing up his whole life, so he knew he wanted to be here. But yeah, it was definitely his speed that caught a lot of people's attention. And like we talked about, he's always been fast. You know, going back to when he was 10 years old, he got the nickname Jet. And so, you know, you hear, you see on his Instagram, and I think it's his Twitter handle too, it's like Primetime Jet.
Yep.
So he got that nickname when he was 10 years old, and he was just running by everybody. If he had a hole, he was gone. Nobody was catching him. Kind of like what you still see today,
right.
I feel like. It still hasn't changed much. So, you know, I think that's one thing that, yeah, it's the first thing you notice. It's the first thing you recognize. And it's definitely what caught some people's attention. But I think what's different, he has a different kind of speed, as you'll hear from Coach Simmons and Coach Wiley.
I think for us, his speed. I mean, we were doing some things, you know, one-on-ones and all of that stuff during spring ball. And, I mean, the DB had leverage on him. There was no way he should have gotten inside of him. And, I mean, when he came off the line, it was just like a blur getting inside to on a goal line slant. And I was just like, wow, he is fast.
His speed is effortless, I'll say that. I've had some really fast guys, even going back to Deion Sanders, who was one of the fastest human beings that I've ever seen live. Those guys in that level and those in that range, it's just effortless. I mean, their speed is effortless. There is no, I've almost never seen him run at top speed because I think he's always going, there's always something else. And those guys are all the same. They're all wired the same. They always have another gear. Always. I mean, you can see them run as fat. I promise you, there's something else.
Wow, that's, wow. You compare someone to Deion Sanders. I know for maybe a younger generation, they know Deion is the media guy. I grew up when Deion Sanders was the greatest athlete in sports, and he and Bo Jackson. And to put someone in that category of speed, Jess, elite. That's the word, that just absolute elite speed, right?
Yeah, and Benny's been able to work with some elite athletes, you know, some of those guys like that, that, you know, he has a lot to compare to. I asked both him and Coach Simmons that question, and you know, Simmons said definitely he's up there in he's worked with some fast guys too, and he's definitely in that group. He said, I'm not ready to call him the fastest yet. Right. He might get there. He might be there at some point, but you know, that was kind of one of the biggest things I took away from the interview with Coach Wiley is, you know, the fact that he put him in that group and how it's effortless and you never really feel like he's actually at his top speed.
It's funny because we just taped Coach's Corner and Teddy, in layman's terms, was breaking down a play in which the touchdown from Kyler to Marquise Brown, and you see that elite speed. But yet it's always kind of interesting because usually when you have that kind of speed – they'll find something wrong with you. And for Marquise Brown, he's always been told you're too small. But he fights back against that, doesn't he?
He always has. Like, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, he's always been the fastest and he's always been the smallest, like we talked about. And he's heard it his whole life. And, you know, Coach Simmons talks about how you can either buy into that or you can use it as fuel. And that is what Marquise has done. He's used it as fuel. And, you know, he combats that, you know, because, yeah, I mean, you can be fast, but you can't just rely on your speed. And that's one thing that, you know, Coach Simmons has really, really, you know, harped on with Marquise from day one is you can't just rest on your speed. And Marquise has been aware of that his whole life because he's had to, you know, he's had to make up for that. And so he busts his tail. And that's one thing. Yeah, his speed might be what gets him recognized. But what really kind of won him over with this football team last spring was his work ethic. And that goes into, you know, what you saw kind of develop later on in the season, his chemistry with Baker Mayfield, that went back to when he first got on campus. And it was, you know, he would stay after practice and work with Baker. And Marquise talks a lot about how Baker really challenged him from the second he stepped on campus. Yeah, you're fast. Let me see it. Let me see what else you can do besides run really fast. And so they would stay after practice. And that's what Coach Simmons said. It wasn't Marquise's speed that won over Baker. It was his work ethic, which goes back to, again, him knowing he has to work hard because his whole life he's been fueled by being told he's too small.
I've had some great like wide receivers that were told they were too small, and those guys are all wired the same way. You can't tell him that he's not 6'2", 200 pounds. And, I mean, that's how he plays. He plays with that mentality, and, I mean, that gives you that fight, that gives you that scrappiness, that gives you that, like, intangible, that it that everybody talks about. Like, how does he – well, I mean, he's a little – irritated, I'll say, every time he steps on the field. You know, he has a chip on his shoulder every time he steps on the field, and that allows him to play at such a high level and play even bigger than he is with just the size.
He talked a lot about kind of his whole life. He's too small or too little. You know, what does it take for a guy that's always been too small, too little to get to where he is today?
His mentality. I mean, you could either buy into that or you can use it as fuel to help you get to where you want to go. And, I mean, trust me, you're in the media. So, I mean, this is no surprise to you. I mean, we heard it all when he got here. He's 146. I mean, what are they doing? What are they thinking? And, you know, the good part for us is we got a chance to know the 146 before he got here. So we knew what he was capable of doing.
Yeah, like, I refuse to think about it. Like, I watch film, I watch guys of my size, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he can do it, and so can I.
Who were some of the people that you've kind of looked at and modeled your game after?
Antonio Brown, Tyreek Hill, Tavon Austin, you know, I watched those guys growing up, and I was just like, oh, yeah, they can do it, I can do it.
So obviously, he's got part of that Baker personality in him too, if you will, and maybe even a little bit more, because Baker had the dinosaur walk and the towel, the flag plant. A little bit different from Marquise. There's the gold teeth. I don't. Did the kids still say swag, or do I sound old when I say
swag,
that?
Yeah, I think swag. Yeah,
but he's got a pretty cool aura about him, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah, but what that aura that you see on the football field is not at all what you see off of it.
Very true.
I mean, that's the thing is, yeah, I think you, I think everybody, you watch him play on Saturdays and he has this big personality. He flashes that gold grin and he does his touchdown celebration, which I asked him, by the way, what he calls that. And he said it doesn't have a name. So maybe we should have Toby come up with a name maybe sometime, because it does not have a name. He does not have, he didn't know what to call it. So I feel like we should maybe name it. Because, you know, with Blake Bell, going back to Blake Bell, he had the choo-choo.
Right, the choo-choo, right.
So I feel like that should get a name. But anyways, going back to, it is kind of flashy. It seems flashy on the field, but it's not at all. Like, the thing is, we had him in here on Spotlight this week, and he's a soft-spoken guy, and that's what Coach Simmons talked about, you know, earlier when he got him on the phone. He's a soft-spoken guy, and it was like pulling teeth when you first get to know him to really get him to open up. But when he does, he trusts in you. He'll come out of his shell a little bit, but he's still not at all what you see on the field on Saturdays. Off of it, he is. And it's so funny that, you know, I think a lot of people maybe make that assumption. Benny Wiley also made that assumption.
To be honest, you know, like, I've watched, of course, with Coach Riley and Coach Ruff and all the guys, Coach Simmons, all those guys, Bill. I mean, this has been my team for, you know, for the last couple of years. So I've watched the games, every game, like, I'm tuned in, I'm watching. And so I see this, like, Hollywood Brown. I thought, oh, geez. And you hear all the stuff, you know, he's got the gold teeth, you know, he's Hollywood, he's flashy. So I'm expecting this, you know, I don't know. I just, and so, like, I meet him for the first time and he's, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, coach. Yes, sir. And I thought, this is not the guy I anticipated, you know. I mean, so I was, the first, like, impression was that this is a humble, like, young man.
You know, Jess, it's kind of amazing. We sit here and we get a chance to talk about all these great parts of the future that don't end up making the air but are still great. But there's also a lot that obviously still is in the future, and part of it is hard times that he had to go through. You know, his strength and conditioning coach, director of sports performance now, Benny Wiley, they went through hard times. And it's part of not only what shapes him, but what has made them both the incredible athletes and trainers that they are today, right?
I had to leave a teaser, right?
Right. I mean so we can't just give it all away here.
You know, come on the podcast. You have to do both, okay? So if you watch the feature, you're going to hear some stuff on the podcast that you didn't get to see on the feature. But if you listen to the podcast, you got to go watch the feature.
That's
because
right,
there's going to be
please.
Stuff on the feature that's not in the podcast. Look, I'm strategic about this,
I like
okay?
It. It's
I'm
brilliant.
Strategic. But, you know, that's one of the big parts of the feature, is kind of talking about how when he went to JUCO, he had to get a job. He had to, you know, make things work. He had to make ends meet, and he had to pay for things, and didn't have a car, so he had to walk. So Coach Simmons talked a lot about that. Marquise talked about, you know, kind of what he kind of learned in that, you know, going through that, and kind of how appreciative it makes him of things. But the thing is it it kind of wires you differently. You know, Coach Wiley has talked a lot in this podcast about how, you know, they're how you're wired, guys like Marquise, how they're wired. Well, yeah, it's his speed. Yes, it's his size. But it's also what he's been through to get here. And, you know, again, going back to his work ethic, you know, he learned that, you know, he doesn't want to go back to where he was. He only wants to move forward, and he wants to move forward in big ways. So for him, there's no off days. He's literally going to give 1,000% in every single thing that he does. And so I think this kind of talks a little bit more about kind of how he's wired, kind of where it all kind of comes from, how he's motivated, and really just kind of how special that makes him in addition to all of his other attributes.
Because he works at it. I mean, for his height and his size, I mean, he's down there with Benny repping 315 multiple times, squatting almost 400 pounds. So, I mean, mentality, he's not going to limit himself to say, okay, well, just because I weigh this much, I should only do this. I mean, and it's the same thing, you know, on the football field. I mean, if hey, we got to go crack a safety, then he ain't thinking about, okay, that dude's big. He's just thinking about, hey, I got to go. I got a job and I got an assignment to do. Let me go do it.
I mean, I just think from his like background and just being around him and just kind of talking and knowing his story. I mean, this is a tough kid now. I mean, he is tough, and not physically, just the things that he's had to endure and kind of go through. I mean, it makes you fight harder. It makes you scrap and not leave any stone unturned. You know, I mean, the game of football is important to him. And being around his teammates is important, and like winning is important. And you see all those things based on all the people that have helped him grow up and, you know, just get to this level. And I mean, you don't take the hard path and then like relax, you know, like you take the hard path and you realize I'm never going back that way. You know, I'm only going to get better at every level. So I just think as a young man, he understands. I mean, he gets it, and like, I love watching him. I love working with him because he is going to perform at a high level every opportunity that we get.
And again, we urge you, while you're listening to this, it's a companion to the feature, Soonersports.tv. Give it a watch, Jess, on Marquise Brown, Rodney Anderson, and the archives as well, too. But as we wrap up on Hollywood, Jess, he had a great offseason.
He did.
And I'm a dork when it comes to the draft, as you've learned.
Yes.
So I was really surprised when I saw Lance Zierling from NFL.com had him as his number one, I think, player to watch, not even the receiver position. I think it was number one overall, wasn't it? Player to watch this season. Regardless, it appears as if not only has he made a great impact in a short amount of time here at Oklahoma, but he's really done a solid job of improving himself, too, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, going back to the whole size thing, and maybe that's what maybe people thought, oh, maybe he can't make it in the NFL. But, no, he has a list of guys, as you heard earlier, that are in the NFL that he watches film on them diligently. And
that's
so, you know, for him, it's like, if they can do it, I can do it. And so I think, obviously, yes, the speed is something you can't coach, you can't teach, right? You know, the work ethic. But, you know, I think for him is he realized, like, while his size has never hindered him, he did need to make himself more durable to be able to make it at that next level. And it's about balancing, putting on the weight, but still maintaining what makes him so special with that speed. So, yeah, it's crazy, you know, hearing him talk about the impact that Benny's had, you know, on him in the short time that he's been here.
Well, and the thing is, it's amazing to hear all the talk from the players about the impact that Benny has made on them. And it appears as if, even in his short amount of time here, he's made an incredible impact. But, you know, Marquise Brown, Jess, this is a guy that's got a great opportunity to play on Sundays beyond this season, if he wants.
And, you know, he on top of maybe a goal of the NFL, it was also what you're going to hear him talk about. He hated the way the season ended last year. I mean, yes, you're in the college football playoff, but he talked about, he went back to the Oklahoma State game.
Oh, wow.
Right? And
yeah.
How big of a day did he have? And he said, I said, what do you take away from that game? And he said, how many plays I left on the field. How much I left on the field. He had, what, 265 yards?
Did he see the numbers?
And he said, when I went back and watched the film with Coach Riley and Coach Simmons, I realized the plays that I left out there. It wasn't about what I took away, the numbers I had. It was about the numbers I could have had. And so for him, he was driven by, you know, the things that he knew that he can be better in the off season. And so he dedicated his world to football and getting better. And so for him, this is why he had the best off season he's had in his entire life.
Yeah, I feel great. It's like the best I feel. I feel a lot faster, a lot stronger.
How do you maintain putting on weight but still maintaining your speed?
I don't know. Maybe because I haven't like reached like my weight yet, I guess. So now, like, when I feel like I'm the same weight as when I got here, I feel the same way. Coach Wiley, he did a good job with me in just getting me stronger, like stronger than, like, I'm lifting things that I never thought I would ever. Like, so he just did a good job. And then Coach T with nutrition, I just kept, when I went home, that's what really helped me, that I stayed on course and I did what I was supposed to do.
That's the trick. I mean, that's the secret. And for him, it's just about increasing like lean muscle mass. And so like the fuel that we put in him with what Coach Tiff does with him, I mean, it's vital meal timing. Just making sure he has the right fuel at the right time, because I mean, He has the highest like metabolism of any human you've ever seen. You drop it in and it's almost gone, you know?
Yeah, this was the best offseason I ever had. Like, I approached this to it each and every day, each hour, Monday through Sunday, you find a way to get better. Some way, like you're running, you're lifting, you're football, you're watching film. I dedicated my whole life to football this offseason, and I feel like it's going to pay off. Like, I can't end the way we ended last year.
There's, you know, like no resistance. There's no coach just tell me what to do, and because this is important to him. It's important to him that he plays at Oklahoma. There's so much like legacy here with great like wide receivers. So he wants to fall in line with those great like wide receivers that have played here, with an eye at the next level as well.
Wow, incredible story. Jess, anything that we missed? Anything else that kind of stood out to you as you put this together on the incredible career, even as I guess you could say from a year's perspective, as short as it's been here at the University of Oklahoma, but anything that really kind of caught your ear, caught your eye as you went through this?
Man, I think just kind of some of the big things that I wanted to make sure that I got in this podcast, you know, just Benny Wiley's impression of him and how he loves working with him and how he does anything and everything above and beyond and takes care of business and just how special it is to work with Marquise Brown. Him putting him, you know, the speed talk about putting him in the category with Deion Sanders. And
that's
then
amazing.
Hearing Coach Simmons talk about how he knew that he wanted a guy like that in his program. But then hearing Marquise, you know, again, this is a guy you think, oh man, he's really high on himself. He is very happy with what he's doing, but no, he's so humble. And that's an ongoing theme that you hear from, you know, coaches and players is how humble he is, how much of improvement he felt like. You know, we're sitting here talking about him like we were in awe of what he did a year ago. He's everybody's fan favorite this year.
And
for him,
mad about it.
You know, no, I mean, he just felt like he could have done so much better.
Wow.
And so that's what drove him. And I think that's what you don't hear a lot about Marquise Brown is just how absolutely bought in he is and dedicated, humble, how hard of a worker he is. Everything that you don't see that leads up to what you see on Saturdays.
It's awesome. All right. You want to tease next week or are we going to surprise people with next week's podcast?
Really fun one for those old school Sooner
nice.
Fans. Anybody ever heard of the Selman brothers?
I've heard of the Selmans, yes.
A unique kind of family tie that you will hear from Dewey Selman himself, but
wow.
A tie in from Dewey Selman's lineage that played a role in this football team this season, Lincoln Riley's football team in 2018.
I love it. Jess, have a great week. We'll see you on game day.
All right, excited.
Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.